prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Folks, this is Pastor Butch Paul. You're listening to Financial Survival, and Melody will be joining us, of course, in the next segment, as she usually does on Wednesdays now. Welcome to the program today. We're glad you're with us, and I do mean that. We'll bring up a few minutes, bring up our guest, our special guest. Metal is all but one, had a down day today. Gold was down 1120 to 1824.31. Silver is down 0.38 to 2147. Platinum was actually up 5 to 948. Palladium is down 46 to 1416. So the metals had a kind of rough day, folks, but now is the time to buy, especially, in my mind, gold and silver. But I'm going to, as soon as I can, order some silver myself because I think it's a great investment right now. Truly do. And as far as the markets, U.S. markets were all down. The Dow was down 140 to 32,989. S&P was down 15 to 3,3981. NASDAQ was down 1544 to 11476. And overseas, the markets were kind of mixed. The FTSE was down 0.59% to 7930. DAX was up 0.01% to 15399. Hang Seng was, Nikkei was down. Wendy, are you there?
Pastor Butch, and how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. It's good to have you, sweetheart. It's always exciting to talk to you because you always have a wealth of information.
Oh, thank you. I try, you know. Hello to all the listeners. I thought we'd talk about what patients are being told about bone density. So usually older folks are urged by their physicians to get a bone density test. So I often get a lot of calls about people who had a bone density test, and they seem to have reservations about, you know, the treatments that are being recommended to them. So they're asking more important questions about the test, and I think that's smart. They're asking their doctors, well, is this test accurate? And people, especially women over 55, are the target age group for the bone density tests and for the treatments. So much of the females are often, they're contacted by their doctors four times a year until they get a test. They kind of harass you, if you will, by phone. So then the calls that they'll come either yearly or every 2 years after you get your first test, depending on how your insurance plan pays for them. However, you know, I've noticed something, Pastor Butch. People are starting to think first and then ask questions regarding these treatments, which is a reasonable response. And oh, yes. I've talked to bone density people who have had the bone density test before, and there seems to be this trend in your healthcare. They're eager to treat this condition, and which means there may be some signs to consider before you accept the treatment. So we're going to kind of jump forward here and help you start, you know, the wheels turning upstairs so you can think. Let's talk about the test itself. So I suspect that the bone density test results may be skewed in some cases. And here's some examples. Now, petite postmenopausal women have smaller bones, and they usually fail the test, whereas people with larger, denser bones get a better standard deviation score or an SD score. And so, you know, it's skewed towards people with heavier bones. Also, the test results often show a range of numbers called a T-score. So for osteoporosis, it can encompass an upper normal bone density range. So in other words, if you look at the score test, zero is the medium test for normal healthy bones of a 30-year-old. And you can go to the right of that to the plus four, or you can go to the left of that minus four. So the normal bone range is from negative one to plus four. So a lot of people are in the negative one, and they classify them as having an osteoporosis, and they want to start them on the drugs, even though it's still considered a normal bone density test. Also, not all the bone density machines are calibrated the same. There's three different machines by three different manufacturers. So if you're getting these tests, you want to make sure you're getting it on the same machine. Also, your bone density test has a error margin of 20%. So all your tests for medicine tend to have an error margin of 20%. Now, I often hear women who get the score between 0 and negative 1, they're being told, you have osteoporosis, we recommend you take these medicines. Now, if you look at the scale that science has put together, the range for normal bone density is negative 1 to plus 4. Now, it is an opinion of medical science that if you fall below that zero mark, the median mark, you know, you're on the road to osteoporosis. That's their thinking. You're never going to improve on it, so you might as well just start on the drugs now. So that's their feeling about it, even though they're still classified as normal, healthy bones. Here's a quote from the National Institute of Health Osteoporosis Bone Disease Resource Center. They say, the bone density test measures your bone mineral density and compares it to that of an established normal, healthy bone of a 30-year-old. Although no bone density test is 100% accurate, they say, the test is an important predictor of whether a person will have a fracture in the future. So it's not 100%. Keep that in mind. So the average bone density test, do you want to know how much they charge for a bone density test, Pastor Butch?
Yeah, I would like to know. How much?
$240. And if the majority of the U.S. population over 55, it gets a test, that's $79,680,000 a year.
Yeah, okay. So, I can live on that.
Yeah, so even if you, you know, tell your doctor you don't want to take the test, you're still going to get four calls a year until you comply. So I got a call the other day, and I told the lady, listen, quit calling me because I don't take mammograms. I don't take these things. I don't do colonoscopy. I don't do that. And they go, well, we're going to call you four times a year until you do.
Oh, they said that.
Pretty much. We're mandated to call you. And I'm like, by whom? You know, and I said, I don't want calls like this. And, well, we're still going to call you, pretty much is what they said. I said, ooh, time to get a new phone number.
Well, did they say who directed them to do that?
No, it's their office policy. That's pretty much what it is. They want your money. That's what it's all about. So I want people to think about this. Medical science has stated that your bone density tests attempt to measure the level of minerals within your bones. So based on their scale, the less minerals in your bones, the weaker they're going to be. So do the bone density drugs help strengthen the bones by providing minerals?
No,
they don't. They don't work that way. Mayo Clinic says this, most osteoporosis medications work by reducing the rate at which your bones break down. So they just attempt to slow down the demineralization. So bones need minerals to remain healthy, and we should look at those things that provide a good source of minerals so you keep the bones strong and avoid the things that tend to flush your minerals out of your system. So one of the major problems we face is modern healthcare is that people over 50 are often put on a regimen of prescribed medicines for various conditions, and those drugs tend to remove your minerals. So it puts you on the path of osteoporosis. So if you are on prescriptions that reduce minerals in your body, you're taking drugs. Also, then they're telling you to slow down the mineral loss. So you have two medicines working against one another, don't you?
Wow, yes.
Okay. Mayo Clinic says the lack of calcium plays a role in the development of osteoporosis, so low calcium intake contributes to a diminished bone density. Well, people are eating tons of cheese, drinking lots of cow's milk, eating a bunch of yogurt, and they still have osteoporosis. And the reason is animal milk does have calcium, but it doesn't have boron and magnesium for your body to absorb it. So you don't get the uptake and absorption of your calcium and a lot of that. So you're still going to have bone problems. But when you look at plant-based calcium, it's a different chemistry. It has the boron and magnesium with the calcium, so the body can utilize that. So we're taking in the wrong calcium is what we're doing. So when patients hear their doctor tell them it's a calcium deficiency, then they're going to be put on calcium supplements. They're going to drink more cow's milk. But the problem with that plan is your body won't absorb that calcium. So look at plants and herbs that have a calcium profile, because they'll always have the boron and magnesium for the absorption of that calcium. Otherwise, you're not going to be making much headway. So let's talk about the bone density drugs for a minute, Pastor Butch. So the Osteoporosis Foundation noticed a decline in the number of patients who were using the bone health treatment drugs. And they wanted to add a new drug to their mix, but the drug offers some of the same side effects as the other therapies, but just under a different name. So the new drugs are called bisphosphonates, and they are often given as an injection or in pill form. By the way, Fosamax drug for osteoporosis is a bisphosphonate medication. So to counter all the side effects of the drug, the patients are also given strong pain relievers. They're put on pain meds for this. And then they get addicted to pain relievers, Pastor Butch.
The drugs cause pain in the bones?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. So what is the bisphosphonate drug? Well, we're told it's a type of drug that binds to the surface of the bone to increase mineral bone density and slow bone loss. We're also told this drug is prescribed for osteoporosis to reduce the risk of hip fractures or vertebral decompositions. The patients are often prescribed these bone drugs for a minimum of 3 to 5 years, but according to the report from the Osteoporosis Foundation, physicians are taking the patients off the bone drugs prematurely. So when physicians are asked by the drug companies, why are you doing that? They say that it's the side effects. The patients don't like the side effects, and they want to come off of the drugs. So the side effects compromise the whole game plan, and so now they're looking for new treatments. And also all this information was published in the Journal of Osteoporosis International in 2015. So here's some of the side effects. This was listed by the Canadian Cancer Society. These are the side effects of your bisphosphonate drugs: digestive problems, pain at the injection site, bone pain, flu symptoms, low calcium levels. How do you like that?
Wow.
So you're supposed to, you know, how about kidney malfunction, renal disease, skin rashes, shortness of breath, confusion, and of course, lo and behold, it lists coming down with osteoporosis. So why would an osteoporosis medicine give you osteoporosis? Very good question, Pastor Butch. So glad you asked me.
Yeah, it is. Why does it?
Yeah, so the drugs cause death to the bone due to a reduced blood supply to your bone affecting them. So symptoms are, especially in the jaw area, it likes to attack the jawbone, especially loose teeth, gum problems, jaw pain, heavy feeling of the jaw. 100,000 women a year have their lower jaw removed after starting taking the bisphosphonate drugs.
Oh my gosh.
I know. And also, according to the research, Loyola University Medical Center in Illinois, they say some of these bone drugs for health actually put patients at risk of bone fracture, so they're not going to keep you from breaking anything. So the research was published in the 2016 Journal of Current Geriatric Reports, which revealed that orthopedic surgeons were reporting an unusual occurrence of femur or thigh bone fractures Here is Dr. Patrick Stroutman, orthopedic surgeon at the university. He says attempts to medically manage osteoporosis with bisphosphonate drugs have created a new atypical, which means not normal, fracture pattern that must be recognized and managed appropriately. So it's creating this weird fracture in your bones. What do you think of that?
Wow.
Well, let's look at some of the foods that are going to help strengthen bones. You want them the bones to be infused with natural minerals, not synthetic ones. And so your food sources are going to be your best bet. And some of the foods with calcium profiles that are great for you are salmon, sardines, kale, collards, broccoli, mustard greens, turnip greens, bok choy, sesame seeds, all your fruits and vegetables in general, sunflower seeds, and millet and oats. By the way, do you like oatmeal, Pastor Butch?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Best way to make oatmeal is because if you overcook the oats, they release a glutinous material and they get sticky. And it's really hard on the digestive system. Best way to make oats so you get more protein out of them is bring your water to a boil, remove the pot from the heat, put your oats in, stir, put the lid on, but leave a little air in between so it can the steam can escape, and let them sit 4 minutes. Drain the water off. The oat is just tenderized, and it's ready for a great breakfast, but it's not all glutinous and mucus. So that's the best way to eat your oatmeal, by the way.
Okay. I'm glad you said that. Okay.
Some of the herbs that will contain your calcium-borne magnesium chemistry, which, by the way, God did that. See, he knows what we need. So the herbs that have that wonderful chemistry are horsetail, comfrey root, lobelia, and oat straw. So my plan is pretty simple. You know, I want minerals for healthy bones. So my plan is to, you know, eat whole foods and take medicinal herbs that have that balanced chemistry already in place. There's no guesswork to be done. So, I like the added benefits of the herbs because you don't have to take mega doses. Laboratories put you on mega doses of supplements because they're kind of guessing what you need. And they've actually done studies with the megadose stuff compared to the whole food stuff, and the body likes the whole food stuff, and you get just as well, but without all the megadoses. So
absolutely.
The other thing that people are neglecting is real salt, because salt has 84 microminerals to keep the system strong and healthy, used in the ancient world to preserve meats, but we neglect to realize salt from the ocean preserves us. So it keeps cell walls strong, balances fluids, makes it harder for viruses to penetrate your cells, and it just has an overall wonderful effect for the nervous system, for the impulses on the for the electrolytes to work. So sun-dried salt, not processed salt. So there's a big difference there. That'll keep your bones healthy as well.
So how about Himalayan salt?
That's a mine salt, and supposedly could have some shale in with it. Shale can clog kidney filters, so be very careful.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so ocean salt is identical to our chemistry, and that's why they hook you up to a saline drip at the hospital, because medicine knows salts are important. So visit the Power Herbs. We do have a plant-based calcium liquid. We also have the ocean salt that's sun-dried. We have a lot of things there, the body food mix with minerals, and also all plant-based. So God's chemistry can't be beat. That's how I look at it. So
Amen.
You can give us a call at 866-229-3663. Or visit us online at thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663. And, you know, you can cure, but you can reverse osteoporosis in like 4 months. That's what you can do. You have power to do that.
I may call you about that because Marsha has a problem with that. I may have to give you a call and talk about that some more with you. And thank you, Wendy Wilson. Thank you so much for being there. I appreciate you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Talk soon. Bye-bye.
See you next week. Folks, we'll be back at the break with Melanie Seasham. Let's talk about Don't Go Away.
The beginning of the United States. Kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All righty, folks, we are back getting connected right now to Melody's Heatstrom. She has a problem with her microphone, so we're going to go on the hardwire phone so I can bring up Melody's Heatstrom. Again, listen to Financial Survival. And, folks, again, if you're going to buy metals, get them now. The prices are down a little bit right now. Get them while you can. Now's the time to buy. 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. And I want to tell you this before bringing Melody up, because after all, it is her broadcast. I do compare metal prices. I do. And Melody is almost always the best buy out there, period. There may be some that are close, and maybe some even penitentiary difference, but the difference in price is not enough to make me change at all on supply, because the integrity of Melody is unreproachable. This woman is honest and straightforward. But I check prices on a lot of places, and their prices on the metals is, well, just a lot higher than Melody's, period. And a lot of them put out the glossy catalogs and the TV shows and all that, and they pay for it out of your pocket, believe me. Melody keeps overhead down, obviously. You need to give her a call at 800-375-4188 and purchase some metals while the prices are down right now. Will it be down for long? Folks, I don't know. I'm not a predictor of times and amounts. But I know for sure how much metals have went up since I started purchasing back in the 90s. Silver has went up over 800, 900% since I started purchasing. Gold's went up a tremendous amount. I never could afford a lot of gold. But I'm telling you, folks, buy now while the prices are down. Melody Cederstrom, are you with us now? I don't hear Melody yet. She comes on, Todd, have her come in and join me. I don't hear her yet. But, all I can do is, as a talk show host, a pastor, and I hope a friend and a friend to you, is offering my advice on what I've seen happen and what I know is coming. The economy is not going to improve. It's not going to improve, folks. It can't. It can improve as long as we keep running on fiat monies, sending billions and billions of dollars overseas, even to Ukraine and places, when we can't even feed our own people here. Sending up money on credit. We don't have any money going anywhere. We have credit issued against the U.S. dollar, which is nothing but a fiat currency, and it's falling apart every day. So all I can say is, think before you leap into something. Think ahead. Look at the facts and figures on metals over the last 30, 40, 50, 60 years and longer, and invest where you see the steady gain, not the up and down fluctuations that the dollar's done in so many different stocks. And Mel, are you with us yet?
Yes, I am.
It is good to have you. It truly is. I just sharing the folks that medals have come down a little bit. Now's the time to buy and to look at the track record of metals and commodities and see which one does the best. They call metal a commodity. To me, metal is not a commodity. It's actual money. And I understand, I guess it's really commodity in the sense of things, but metals have a track record of gaining ground steadily over decades and decades, don't they?
Well, yes. They have been recognized. It's been recognized as money for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, and it will continue to do so. And I can even remember in 2008, old Ben Bernanke said, I think it was Ron Paul that was questioning him, and he says, yeah, we watch gold daily. He says it's very important in their decision making, but they don't want the general populace to know any of that, you know, because heaven forbid you pull your money out of Wall Street and get something that's a little more stable and that you actually have something other than a piece of paper and a promise to pay you. So, and that's all stock. That's all that a stock is. And hey, you can't complain. Stocks have done very well. But they haven't really done, they didn't rise based on their own assets. They increased by the assets of the central banks and the Federal Reserves and the other hedge funds. Certainly there's some degree of increase due to, you know, good economies and so forth. But yet when you have multinational corporations buying back their own shares, and I mean they truly have distorted what Wall Street and what things should be really priced at. We have lost the ability to see what the real value is of something. And the reason we've lost that real value of something is because of the fiat currency, and it all comes back to that. And it all comes back to inflation, because all these numbers are inflated all due to a fiat dollar. So when you have a fiat dollar, it kind of erases the real value of something. So, but yet gold really does show the real value of what it is. It certainly is the ultimate hedge against inflation. And, you know, you're always promised these high knee-jerk increases from various financial planners, and you know, hey, you know, when something increases to substantially, I mean, it's gambling. That's what you call it. If you want to gamble with your hard-earned money, that's your choice. And you know, I guess that's what freedom is all about. You get to choose what you want to do with your money. We're just saying, hey, help get it insured so you can, if you want to gamble, at least you're going to be insured and you're not going to lose, you know, your house, or you're not going to lose a large part of your standard of living. Insure it. What the heck's wrong with that? Forget the naysayers out there who say gold doesn't do anything. But I think most listeners on this program truly do understand a little bit more about gold and silver than the general populace out there. So, you know, it's something that you continue to buy, you continue to accumulate, just as you continue to accumulate those worthless dollars. You don't, once you have them, once you have a, you know, you accumulate them on a weekly basis. So you convert some of them into the real metals. And that's what you do. You continue to, it's a long-term savings account. And it is a little bit more difficult. It's not more difficult. Gold trades 24/7, but true. You got to pack it up and you got to ship it to me. But that's okay. It's not that big of a deal. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Butch?
Yeah, you know, as you're talking about, I don't know, maybe I'm just old-fashioned. I can get paper in my hand and I can have cash, so to speak, in my hand. But it's not really tangible. It's not something that you know is of value. It's not something, it's not really an item that you can use for anything if it's considered worthless. You know what I'm saying? If it goes to nothing. A piece of gold or a water filter or even a gun is tangible and it's worth something. Paper money is worth nothing except that we believe it's worth something. And if that comes to an end, we have a whole bank full of nothing, don't we?
We certainly do. So
that's things that people need to consider. You know, I mean, it's all well and good. When it looks like it's right now, you said the markets are doing well, and I guess they're holding their own. But when the corporations buy up their own debt, how long can they do that before it all comes to a head?
Yeah.
That makes sense?
It absolutely does.
So I don't understand the thinking of some people. I understand people have stocks and are doing well, and I'm not saying don't get some of them, but be very cautious, folks. Maybe I'm just old-fashioned. You know, I'm one of those kind of guys, Melody, that makes sure there's air in the spare in the car when they travel somewhere and make sure the tires are in good shape. And I'm one of those kind of guys that I'd rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely.
So keeping some metals on hand, to me, is a wise decision. There's no reason why we shouldn't. You know, I have an article here. Excuse me, I've got a little bit of a cough, so I've got a cough drop in my mouth. I don't want to cough in anybody's ears, so excuse me if you hear the cough drop moving around. I can't help it. But an article here that I thought was very telling, 92% of Americans can't afford groceries. That don't mean they're not eating. They just can't afford what they bought before. They had to drop the quality of what they bought. And I know that's true. A recent survey pointed out what we've been saying all along, grocery prices are hard to handle. And quality food is becoming a luxury that few can afford. The survey was sponsored by Lean and Fresh, a food delivery service, which sought a case study on how inflation would affect American diets. The survey respondents weren't the people you might expect to be having trouble being able to afford groceries. It is not just poor, non-working people with a dozen children who are struggling. Now, this did surprise me. Instead, 65% of these people who responded to the survey earned more than $75,000 per year. More than half of the respondents were from the biggest locations, economies in the country, California, Illinois, New York, Florida, Texas, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Georgia. Majority of those polled were either working or self-employed people, and nearly half of them had no children. Now, that is surprising, though. $75,000 a year for a couple that's no children, you would think they could still afford to buy what they used to buy, but...
Well, no, because they're not willing to cut out anything else. I mean, people are just spoiled, and they have their little extravagances, so they're not going to cut back anything else. So it makes it more difficult to, you know, they're focusing on the food portion.
Well, and when you're doing well financially, that's all well and good, and that's great. But when you buy according to what you're making without planning for anything like an emergency, living on the edge, so to speak, it can catch up to you, can it?
Absolutely. I mean, again, that's just another sign of the inflation that we've seen across all these years. I mean, we talk about this all the time. I can remember in the, you know, late 80s, early or late 70s, early 80s, making 20 grand a year. That was a nice income. Now you got to make 75.
At least.
And they're still having a hard time doing it.
My first best-paying job, I got married in November 1971, Melody, and my first decent-paying job, now this is a fact, was for the City of Somersville Water Department at $4.50 a month. We lived on that. And we weren't wealthy, but we lived on $4.50 a month. How long will $4.50 last today?
Exactly. I mean, so, you know, that isn't a, you know, again, it shows how much less your dollar buys. It's not prosperity.
No.
It's inflation due
it
to
is.
The monetary policy created by a fiat dollar. It's that simple. So well, where are we going to be in 10 years?
Then
what are you
going to
be paying?
That's scary. That is really scary. Think about that. It is scary. You get a very good point. But back then, we could buy 12 loaves of bread for a dollar. About a gallon of milk for 48 cents. A gallon of gas was 20-some cents. So did we run out of bread, Melody? Did we run out of milk? No. Well, the dollar dropped in value. It's not that commodities went up that you're buying. It's just the dollar dropped in value. So, folks, even though you're making went from $4.80 a month to what was making or whatever it was in the salary to $4,800 a month, you're no better off because the dollar's dropped in value. You're spending $3.50 for gasoline, $4, $4, $5 a gallon of gas, $5 a dozen eggs. Now, I don't care if you're making $5,000 a month now compared to $480 just to 1971. You're not living any better. You're living worse, actually, tighter. And these figures show them, LD. It shows that it's not that complicated. Here's what the survey found. Results of food affordability were alarming. 87% said grocery prices are too high. 65.93% take fewer trips to the store due to inflation. 82% dining out less for the same reasons, so it's not a swap of spending. Money itself is the problem. 50 to 55% of people shop less, buy less stuff, and spend more time at home. 57% have to stop buying organic or premium ingredients. 74.60% would eat healthier if they could afford it. 57.5% are buying less meat and poultry. Given those statistics, it's probably no surprise that around 50% of those responding feel unhealthier now than they did a year ago. When good food is now available, your health suffers. I'm sorry, when your good food is not available, your health suffers. Americans are losing buying power hand over fist. Heritage.org released an alarming calculation that Americans have lost a whopping $4,200 of spending power per year during the Biden administration. Let me repeat that. Heritage.org released the alarming calculation that Americans have lost a whopping $4,200 a year of spending power during the Biden administration. Now, that's been going on 3 years that we lost $4,200 a year average in spending power. That's a lot of money, isn't it?
It is a lot. Absolutely.
To put it in perspective, that's just over $80 per week we don't have for groceries and other necessities. Wow. According to the website, Heritage experts calculate that this shocking number, based on different sets of data, consumer prices have risen 12.7% since January 2021, significantly faster than wages. So the average American worker spent $3,000 in annual purchasing power. Further, as the Federal Reserve implements tighter monetary policy to reduce inflation, interest rates are rising. Higher rates have in turn increased borrowing costs on mortgages, vehicle loans, credit cards, and more. The higher interest rates and borrowing costs have effectively reduced the average American purchasing power another $1,200 on an annualized basis. Interestingly, American buying power increased by 4,000 during the Trump administration, which could make the drop feel more dramatic. Paycheck to paycheck isn't working anymore. More Americans than ever are living paycheck to paycheck, and expenses rise while spending power decreases. Even that is too much of a stretch for many. Obviously, we're always recommended emergency funds and not living by the skin of our teeth, but these days that's easier said than done for many. I've written before about how this is causing life-altering changes to occur. People are skipping meals and medications because they can't afford them, and I know that's true. I know that's true. More people than ever are living in the cars. People are adopting a nomadic lifestyle and not by choice. As a nation, we're experiencing medication shortages, food shortages, and supply chain breakdowns. While preppers have expected this kind of economic breakdown for a long time, the reality of it is still not easy. The past 3 years, I've really seen our system's chickens come home to roost, so to speak. And that's all facts, Billy. That isn't pleasant, but it's all true. We've watched in the last 3 years people lose over $12,000 a year in purchasing power. That is a lot of money for a lot of people. Do you agree?
Yeah, it really is. And that's how much they had to change their lifestyles. That's how their standard of living has changed. Now multiply that by two or three as we go forward, because again, inflation is always here. It isn't going to go away, and it isn't going to stay at the Federal Reserve's targeted date of 2% that we had talked about previously. So we're heading into a break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul. And, you know, we're talking about so many different things today. And I caught this coming out of the Financial Times. And it's, you know, we talk about our strong dollar. And gold kind of reacts opposite of that. When that gets stronger, gold goes down, vice versa. You know, it goes down and gold goes higher. And I also talked that that's a way that they were able to help the inflation numbers in their view is because it makes those imports coming into this country a little bit cheaper. But it kills all of these other emerging nations. It kills them to where they're looking for defaults. Now, this is out of the Institute of International Finance. Developing countries' debts mount as pandemic and strong dollar hits their finances. These debt burdens for large, low, and middle-income countries are at record highs. And the developing countries' stockpile of debt hit a fresh record high last year. Now, again, this is on the Institute of International Finance. And it's adding concerns of a wave of sovereign defaults this year. The combined government, household, corporate, and financial sector debts of 30 large, low, and middle-income countries rose to $98 trillion at the end of December as their currency slumped against the dollar. The debt burden for the 30 countries was up from $96 trillion a year earlier and from $75 trillion only in 2019. So, I mean, now the IIF is a trade body for the global banking industry. And this is what they said in their latest edition. Government debts alone hit almost 65% of gross domestic product by the end of 2022. That's an increase of 10% percentage points. And the highest ever year-end total. The dollar soared against emerging markets and advanced economy currencies over the course of 2022. And that raises the cost of meeting existing debt obligations because a lot of those debt obligations, as we are the reserve currency, many of them are denominated in the U.S. currency.
So the dollar's rise followed the U.S. Federal Reserve's aggressive interest rates, you know, combat our inflation. And but it had a, you know, it had a knock-on impact on global borrowing costs. So you got a lot of 30 countries possible default this year because of the strength in the dollar. Now, we did see our currency weaken a little bit since autumn, since this last fall. But Ed Parker, head of the Sovereign Research at Fitch, which is a credit rating agency, warned that 2023 is going to be another challenging year as the dollar still remains strong by historical standards. Debts and deficits would remain well above the pre-COVID levels. Pakistan and Egypt, both included in the list of 30, are among the countries considered at high risk of default. Both countries sharply devalued their currencies against the dollar in January. What's funny, though, is when they devalue their currencies, it allows them to get emergency funding from the IMF. I mean, Butch, it's just, oh, we're just going to do this so we can get help from the IMF. And who pays the IMF? Oh, my gosh. So the strength of the dollar against most emerging market currencies last year, you know, led to, you know, investors to dump emerging market stocks and bonds. And we saw this last October, again, as the dollar weakened a little bit. It's in, well, it went from 114 down to where we are now, 102, 103 has been the trend. So, it's not a good sign that this dollar strength, it's left these low-income countries facing extra funding costs. And again, they rely too heavily on the dollar. Now, do you think these countries are going to continue to go forward in relying heavily on the dollar-denominated funding? Or do you think that maybe they might be looking for other areas? Maybe, oh, China. Or, you know, maybe some of these other. Maybe they're going to be looking to not use the U.S. dollar as strong as they once had. Because what is our government doing? You know, we forced them to use the U.S. dollar as the world reserve currency. And now we ran ours up and we could give a hoot about them because they're all concerned about the inflation in this country. So, I mean, you had a couple of countries in Sri Lanka and Ghana both defaulted on external debts last year, Zambia in 2020. And so, again, this is something that needs to be in the back of your minds that this is going on. Although you don't hear too many people talking about this.
No, you know, no mainline media that I've heard ever.
No. You know, and what's interesting ever. Is we did have a little bit of the global debt is down slightly, but I mean, it's like, are you kidding me? And that's all you're going to hear. You're not going to hear the other side of the coin.
Well,
so.
For sure. Chickens are coming to roost, if you know what I'm saying, for the dollar. It's coming back. It will haunt us. And you said other nations are going to look other places, and they're going to find it. And that's going to really hurt us big time, if you know what I mean.
Sure. Who's in there? I'll guarantee you these countries might be, you know, having someone knocking on the door. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they're still too ingrained in the U.S. dollar to do something immediately. But again, when I talk about a trade unit, basket of currencies, backed by something, so countries can't do what's being done.
Yes.
You know, yeah, we ran ours up, but yet you have others that are running it down just so they can get emergency funding from the IMF. So that's got to stop, and it will stop. I don't know what the main ingredient is going to be to make those issues come to a halt. But it ain't going to be pretty for you or me.
It's a vicious circle. And, you know,
it is. We're all connected.
We are connected. When you're eating somebody else's tail, they'll come around and bite your tail. It's going to get back to you sooner or later. That's just the way it is, folks. This whole world's connected now monetarily, and that's the way it's planned to be for many years. And we're all going to suffer jointly when this finally comes to a head.
So these are the things that you need. Yeah, these are the things that you need to pay attention to and pay attention to the things that aren't being used as sensationalism. And be thankful that you have the extra time to get your finances in order. So,
amen. Amen. And this, now we all know what's happening in East Palestine or Palestine, I don't know how they pronounce that town in Ohio, but they're getting fed up. They're getting angry. It's about time. East Palestine Mayor Trent Conaway has blasted Joe Biden over the news that he's giving another $500 million to Ukraine while not even visiting Ohio town that a toxic chemical spill has rocked. By the way, Trump did go there, by the way. Trump went there, so we'll see. Mayor Conaway appeared on Fox News channel Jesse Waters Prime Time on Monday while Biden was cozying up to Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky in Kyiv. During the interview, Waters asked if Biden being in Ukraine made him feel slighted. East Palestine, Ohio Mayor Trent Conaway, I found out today through one of the briefings that Biden was in Ukraine giving millions to the people over there and doing nothing for us. I'm furious. Absolutely, that was the biggest slap in the face, Conaway said. That tells you right now that he doesn't care about us. Conaway continued, he can send every agency he wants to, but I found out this morning in one of the briefings that he was over in Ukraine giving millions of dollars away to people over here, over there and not to us. I'm furious, the mayor continued. Well, on President's Day here in our country, he's in Ukraine. That tells you what kind of guy he is. And that's, well, I have to agree. We give another $500 million to Ukrainians, and the people in East Palestine, Ohio, are having to leave their homes and trying to clean the mess up. I know that the EPA's there, supposedly, and the railroad's going to clean the mess up, but it makes no difference. They're basically ignoring them with billions and millions of dollars given away everywhere else, except to the people right now that could use it. That's just, Melody, that's really a sad statement on how much our so-called leaders care for the people in this country. Any comments on that?
I'll tell you what, though. I've seen, you know, these where they're saying their water is safe to drink and all this stuff in there. But you know what? I wouldn't drink that water.
No.
I wouldn't listen to those authorities who said the water is fine to drink.
Well, the governor of Pennsylvania and Ohio both drank some today.
They're doing it, but the people are going back drinking the tap water, and it's like, are you kidding me? Don't listen to them. I mean, good grief. They're testing the water. I mean, it takes time. I read where it takes time. You're not going to have, you know, some of these negative reports and so forth, and that area has forever been changed.
Oh, he said it had been. Years and years ahead, it'll still be there. There's no way, this like in Chernobyl, it's not going to ever go away. It may lessen, but it'll never go away. Folks, this is going to be much bigger than we ever thought it was.
I mean, it's just like 9/11. Oh, yes. Yeah, nobody's got... Yes. Oh, well, it takes a couple years for people to get sick. And they still deny it.
I look for cancer rates in the area to skyrocket, and the areas around it also. I'm only about 5-6 hours south of that myself, so I'm not forever about 5 hours below that. So we're not forever away from that area. It's very, very serious. And they've been
basically ignored. Are you on the same water table?
No, the Ohio, the river is the basic, and it goes to the west of us. Okay. So we're not on the same water table, no. But the air quality is what got me. The cloud is going to spread everywhere. Clear to the East Coast and who knows where else. So it's really just, folks, this is serious. And more serious than we realize. More serious, even though we know it's serious, it's more serious than we realize it is. On a different topic, 1 in 6 retirees, Melody, are mulling a return to work. That doesn't surprise me. Does it you?
No.
For some retirees, heading back to work has emerged as an aspiration. Roughly 1 in 6 retired Americans say they are mulling over whether to get a job, according to a recent study from Paychex. On average, those unretiring individuals have been out of work for 4 years. The top reasons cited by individuals surveyed with the report were personal reasons, 57%, which means money reasons, I'm sure, needing more money, 53%, and getting bored, 52%. Feeling lonely, 45%, inflation, 45%. Round out to the top 5 reasons for considering employment. Well, out of those top 5, 4 were money related, obviously. Inflation, need more money, all that is part of, I mean, that's all financial reasons. 1 in 6 people that retired are considering going back to work. And something that I haven't not thought about myself, to be quite honest with you. And on the other, and another, I guess, nail in the coffin of this country, we all knew about the adult children not leaving home and staying with parents. Well, more parents are moving in with adult children at younger ages. Housing costs, child care, and shifting ideas about family are driving new rise in multi-generational living. So now parents have moved back in the children. Darren Freeman in Beige, just talking about the house there, house in, is one more time, about 3,300 square foot house with her husband in Tampa, Florida, where the three generations of her family live together. More parents are moving in with their young children, adult children, and they are doing it while they are younger, healthier, and often still working. One in four Americans aged 25 to 34 lived with parents or older relatives as of 2021, the fastest growing segment in multi-generational households, according to data from Pew Research Center. Most of this group and adult children are moving back in with their parents, but a significant number of older adults are moving in with millennials, said Richard Fry, a senior researcher at Pew. In 2021, 9% of multi-generational households were headed by 25-34-year-old, up from 6% from 2001. So older people are moving with their children to help take care of the children and to help take care of household expenses because they can't afford to pay for their own homes now. Now, this is America today. Young children don't want to leave. They're staying home with parents because they can't afford to move out, and parents are moving back in with the children. That's American economy today. And everybody said we're booming, we're prospering. I don't think so. I don't want to move in with my children, Melody. I really don't. I have three fine sons. But I don't want to burden them with my wife and I taking care of me now. I don't want to do that. But it's happening. And it's just sad. It's a sad state of affairs, isn't it?
Well, it is. But you know what? I have a question. I get that we become so independent, and you know what I hear, you know, the like yourself, you don't want to go there. You enjoy.
Right.
But you know, when you look at some of these other European nations and so forth, the family is really a tight unit.
That
is nothing new. And in fact,
it's biblical.
It's actually biblical.
We got to the point of independence. We don't like it, but it is biblical that the children took care of the parents and the parents stayed and even helped educate the children. That's what's part of it at one time, but that's been going for years. Maybe it's a good thing in a kind of a roundabout way. I don't know. The economy's forcing it all, obviously.
I hear the music, so that means we're out of time. We are. And thank you, everyone, for joining us today. We'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.